Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for business women who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. Well, this has not been an easy year for any of us to try to keep our purpose firm, keep our focus. Satan has thrown everything but the kitchen sink at us, it seems, from the COVID pandemic to racial strife to riots to hurricanes, wildfires to economic crisis and individual challenges to shut down cities and closed up businesses, kids forced to learn remotely, social distancing, the great oxymoron of our generation, by the way, and to a divided nation on the brink of an election. Yes, Satan has had a field day this year trying to make our lives miserable. And at times, it has been challenging to try to keep our focus on God's purpose for our lives. I mean, most days, we're just trying to find a mask in the glove box so we can go inside the store. I mean, who can focus on purpose in the midst of that? Well, that's exactly Satan's plan, to get us so focused and so fussed over the inconveniences of our current reality that we completely miss God's purpose for each of us in the midst of this. No matter how many masks we're required to wear, or how many feet we are to stay apart, no matter how many customers are allowed in a store, or how few students are allowed in a classroom, God is still in control. And He still has work for us to do to represent His goodness in the midst of all this. This is our purpose, and we put our trust in God to give us the strength that we need. When it comes to much-needed examples of people who can model for us what it looks like to put our trust in God, we need look no further than to King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. Now, if you had a chance to follow along in our book, Shelter in God, by Dr. David Jeremiah, in our recent chapter, you learned about King Hezekiah. We are introduced to this young king of Judah in 2 Kings chapter 18. From the beginning, it is said that, quote, King Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in all he undertook, end quote. Well, he was successful because King Hezekiah honored the ways of the Lord, which was good, because King Hezekiah would need every ounce of that trust in God during his reign, especially early on when the Assyrians, led by the evil Sennacherib, were conquering kingdoms like locusts, and they had their sights set next on Judah. Well, the hub of Judah was the city of Jerusalem. So the evil Sennacherib had his troops surround the walled city of Jerusalem. Now, Sennacherib had done his homework. You see, he had discovered that King Hezekiah believed in and worshipped God, and that King Hezekiah led the people of God to do the same. So Sennacherib ordered his troops to surround the city walls of Jerusalem and shout horrible insults and mockery to the people about God, trying to provoke a response that would start a battle. As they would say, he was itching for a fight. But King Hezekiah was no dummy. Even though the Assyrian troops were large in number, King Hezekiah knew they were no match for God, no matter how many there were. The Assyrian troops spent days locking down the city from the outside, sound familiar, and hurling insults continually. No one could come or go. They even sent a threatening letter to King Hezekiah detailing the evil they planned to do to the city. But King Hezekiah did not react foolishly. Instead, he called for the prophet Isaiah, a man of God, to consult with. Well, Isaiah affirmed that God was in control, no matter how bad things looked at the time, and they looked pretty bad. Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book Shelter in God, writes this about Isaiah's talk with King Hezekiah. The bottom line, he says, "It may look bad," said Isaiah, "but King Hezekiah, you may see your city surrounded, but seeing is not believing. Rather, believing is seeing. See what your God is doing. See that he is still in control." Isaiah gave some very good counsel to King Hezekiah. No matter how bad it looks, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. God is still in control. So encouraged by that truth from Isaiah, King Hezekiah took the threatening letter to the temple, and he spread the letter out before God, and he prayed fervently for God to deliver the people from the hands of the Assyrians. Dr. Jeremiah fills in the details this way. Dr. Jeremiah writes this about that episode. King Hezekiah spreads the menacing letter before God. "Well, Lord," he says, but his prayer is really much more eloquent than just that. It's recorded in 2 Kings 19. And Hezekiah concludes his prayer, "Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." You see, Hezekiah realizes the true issue, that the power and sovereignty of God, well, they've been challenged. So the king leaves it all with God, and he walks back to his palace, passing by the walls beyond which foreign soldiers are still hurling ridicule and dark warnings. And King Hezekiah waits. It is all the king of Judah can do, wait and pray and have faith. He knows that at midnight the attack will come. The ominous moments tick by. You can read about that in 2 Kings 19. But it goes this way. The angel of the Lord comes by night, and the angel of the Lord executes 185,000 Assyrians. And when the break of day comes, the men of Judah return to their posts, and they can't believe what's laid out before them. Acres of Assyrian soldiers, no longer ridiculing, no longer frightening or imposing. It's a landscape of death. The Lord has taken up the challenge of Sennacherib and his men. Many people would have laughed at the seeming folly of Hezekiah hurrying to the temple to show God a threatening letter. But this leader lays out his burdens before the Lord, and the Lord lays out his response outside the gates. It's just that simple. All the citizens of Judah quickly realize that this day will be forever celebrated in the history of their nation. It's a red-letter day, and a red-letter psalm is penned to commemorate it. Psalm 46. This, one of the most famous of all psalms, is actually a song of celebration written after the invaders were put down. Yes, Psalm 46, our next sheltering psalm, is the psalm of praise written from King Hezekiah to God, celebrating that no barrier is too great for God to overcome. No challenge is too big for our God. So as you take a look at Psalm 46, think about the experiences in the background that King Hezekiah and God's people had that they are praising God for in this psalm. Psalm 46 reads, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, this psalm reminds us and assures us that God is enough. He is enough to overcome this pandemic and racial strife and riots and business closings and economic struggles and kids' schooling challenges and personal crisis and election decisions. God is enough. Dr. Jeremiah writes it this way in his book. What do we mean when we say God is enough? Well, let's be honest and agree that it sounds suspiciously like the language of piety and self-righteousness, just a tired cliche. But in reality, those three words are so much more than jargon. God must be enough, in fact. For if he isn't, where do we find ourselves? Where do we go for plan B? If the God of heaven and earth, who is mightier than all the world's armies, who can cause the earth to melt into the sea, who is with us, if that God is not Lord of your crisis, you're in deep trouble, and so are the rest of us. But praise his name that we need not worry about that possibility. The fact is, God is sufficient. Our God is in control. He holds the destiny of the galaxies in his hands, all the while knowing the precise number of hairs on your head. He has preserved his people time and again, performed miracles on battlefields and in cattle fields, among prophets and priests and plumbers. Above all else, he loves you and chose to measure that love out, not in words, but in blood. He loves you enough to give you the greatest gift conceivable. Would such a love allow you to suffer without a purpose? Would such a love neglect to have a wonderfully happy ending lying in wait for you? God has never run away from you, so you must never run away from him. Run into his waiting arms, for that's what he desires most. He is your refuge, your city wall, your cool and refreshing stream, your impenetrable defense from the enemy. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.